to the chief musician upon Shushan Edoth, Mictam of David, to teach, when he strove with Aram Naharim and with Aram Zobah, when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the valley of Salt 12,000. O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased, O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it, heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things, thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem, and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver, Moab is my washpot, over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hast cast us off? And thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts. We stand on the threshold of a new year. While the new year is a time for looking forward, New Year's Eve is a season for reflection, for remembering, for reviewing. This is where we are today. As David wrote this psalm, he was reflecting upon an incident that had taken place in his life. Of all the psalms bearing titles, the 60th has the longest title. From it we glean important information about an historical incident in David's life. The king of Israel was reviewing two incidents. His authority was challenged by the Edomites. Joab, his general, went to war and slew 12,000 enemy soldiers in the Valley of Salt. At the same time, David is being threatened by other aggressors who are named in the title. When we read the psalm, it appears that he is suffering from a military defeat, even though on the other front, Joab had won a great victory. Therefore, David, in reviewing what had happened, was reflecting on a checkered history. There was celebration and there was grief. There was death and there was life. There was defeat and there was victory. As we think about the 12 months that are gone, we are aware, are we not, that life is a mixed bag. We have had our problems, our disappointments and our tears, and at the same time, we have had our satisfying moments, our triumphs, we've had our successes. There have been births, marriages and deaths. That is the nature of life. As with David, the sad times overshadow the good. That is the case so often. Therefore, the psalm takes on an atmosphere of lamentation and mournfulness. In the midst of his despair and regret, however, David comes to God. The psalm is a prayer written in a time of painful memory. If you have painful memories today as you stand at the end of a year that truly you're glad to see the end of, will you come to God? Perhaps you have never given your life to God. Oh, you believe he exists. You attend church sometimes. You lift your Bible occasionally. You may even pray a little. But that is quite different from surrendering your life to him. Confess your sin. Trust Christ who died for you as your one and only Saviour. Come to him who is your great High Priest and find rest and comfort not only for today, but for every step that you will take throughout the years that lie ahead. The first verse is especially instructive. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. In his trouble, it certainly felt as if the Lord had forsaken him. Yet the fact that he felt that God had forsaken him was a grace in itself. All too often people are forsaken by God, and they neither know nor do they care. In the Bible we read of a character called Samson who arose to fight off his enemies, as he did before. But there was a difference on this occasion. The Spirit of God had left him, and he did not realize that was the case. David was quite different. He knew that the Lord had cast his people off. He knew that the Lord had forsaken him. Casting off his people, forsaking his people. Does a God of love really do this? And if so, why does he behave in this fashion? In the case of David, God allowed this painful episode in order that the king might pray and seek God and trust him more than he had done before. God disciplines his people because we are imperfect. We need to learn serious lessons. The very fact that David is praying here is proof that God's discipline is working. If God did not discipline us, we would become complacent. That is the very nature of humanity, and God is aware of this. Therefore, he must deal with us, hardly at times, but yet it is a grace in itself. Perhaps over the past year, events in your life have not quite worked out as you would have planned and anticipated. Could it be that God is teaching you to trust him? Not to be self-reliant, not to be self-resourceful, but to trust him absolutely and completely. One of our greatest problems is pride. We think we can achieve more than we do. We think we are cleverer than we are. Sometimes we must be brought to a place where we feel our abject foolishness and our need of God, his wisdom, his grace. This is the place where David was brought to. At the close of the psalm, he expressed his total confidence in God. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. He was not glorying in the strength of his armies. He was not glorying in the bravery of his men, in the power of his weapons. He said, vain is the help of man. We need God to do valiant things through us. We need God to tread down our enemies. This is true of every matter of life. We need to learn to trust God, not on ourselves. It is especially true in the great matter of the soul's salvation. Too many people in Ireland today are trusting man. Perhaps you say, I do not trust men to save me. Let me challenge your position. If you rely upon the church, you're trusting man. If you rely upon your attendance at church and your engagement in the sacraments, you're trusting man. If you're relying upon your good works and kind deeds, you're trusting man. The Bible says vain or empty is the help of man. Man will never save us. No organization will save us. No work that we do will save us. Anything of man will not save the soul. You see, we are sinners. We can originate no good thought. Even the best that we do is tainted by our sin. But God is holy. Only holiness pleases him, and holiness knows no compromise. Therefore, by ourselves, we cannot earn or bring salvation to our own hearts. We need the grace of God. We need the mercy of God. This is why St. Paul wrote those marvellous words, for by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of ourselves it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, that's just another way of saying, vain is the help of man. Faith in Christ alone who died for you in Calvary, this alone will save the soul. It's not works, it's not faith plus works. It's faith alone in Jesus Christ. If you seek the Lord for salvation and forgiveness today, the Bible promises, Jesus Christ promises, that he will never ever cast you away. This would truly be a great way to end the year and to look forward to the year that is to come. Simply to trust Christ alone. Will you do this? Will you do it now? I thank you so much for listening.